Welcome in, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely, let's do it.
You ever get that feeling like when a stock you sold suddenly takes off?
Oh, tell me about it, the one that got away, right?
Exactly. It's like you knew it was a winner, but couldn't quite hang on for the ride.
Happens to the best of us.
So today we're dissecting that, the art of holding on to winning stocks.
Because picking them, well, that's only half the battle.
Right. So let's be honest. Isn't the goal just to buy low, sell high, repeat?
Sounds simple enough.
Why is holding, especially when a stock is doing well, considered such a challenge?
You'd think it'd be easy, but our own brains, they kind of work against us, you know?
Oh, I know it.
Fear makes us sell too soon. First sign of a dip, we're out.
Makes sense.
Greed makes us chase the next big thing, and all that market noise, forget about it.
Oh, the noise is real.
Enough to make anyone second guess themselves.
And our source material dives into this with a great example. William J. O'Neill built an empire on long-term holding. And it wasn't luck. This guy bought shares of Pick N Save on 285 different days. Over, oh, look at this, 7 years. Talk about conviction. What was he seeing that most people miss?
He understood that real, lasting growth, it takes time.
Okay, so patience.
It's like watching a tree grow.
Okay.
You don't see those changes daily,
Yeah.
but year after year, bigger, stronger, more resilient.
Right.
Companies need that same runway, you know, to innovate, weather those economic storms, become the giants we know.
So he was focused on that long game instead of getting distracted by the daily swings of the market.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense, but how do we actually do that? Because I'll be honest, I'm easily swayed by a scary headline or two.
I hear you, it's tough.
Thankfully, our source breaks it down into four actionable steps. Ready to dive in?
Let's turn those paper hands into diamond
I
ones.
love it.
Step one, know your company inside and out.
Yeah.
And I mean, really know them.
And this is where I think a lot of people probably trip up, right? We get caught up in the hype, a friend's hot tip, but don't actually do the homework.
It's like dating, right? You wouldn't marry someone after one date, no matter how charming.
Awfully not.
You'd want to know their values, their flaws, their long-term potential. Investing should be no different.
So, what does that due diligence look like for a regular person? Like asking for their financials on the second date?
Well, not quite. But you hit on a good point. You got to dive deep into those financials. Look beyond just the stock price. Understand their revenue, their earnings, their debt.
All the important stuff.
What's their track record? Are they consistently growing? And then really understand their product or service. What makes them special? Do they have that unique advantage, what we call a moat, protecting them from competitors?
Our source gives the example of Apple back in the early 2000s.
Interesting one.
There was skepticism around their longevity. Some even thought they wouldn't make it.
Yeah, I mean, the tech landscape was changing so rapidly back then.
Right.
But here's the key. Those who truly understood Apple's vision, who saw the potential of the iPod, the iPhone, that ecosystem, they held on tight. They saw past the temporary noise to the company's fundamental strengths.
And I'm guessing those investors are feeling pretty good about their long-term relationship with Apple these days.
I'd say.
All right, so step one, get to know your companies like they're your future in-laws.
That's it.
Got it. What about step two?
Step two is where we outsmart our own emotional brains, have a game plan before things get emotional.
So we're talking like prenups for our portfolios.
Exactly. Before you even think about hitting that buy button, decide. What's your risk tolerance?
Okay.
How much of a dip can you stomach without hitting the panic button?
Yeah.
What are your personal sell signals,
Okay.
those objective triggers
Gotcha.
that tell you, okay, time to reevaluate, regardless of your gut feeling at the moment?
This is where I think a lot of people, myself included, get tripped up by what our source calls bases. Describing those periods where a stock might move sideways or even dip a little,
Right.
even if the company's like fundamentally still sound.
Yeah.
Without a plan, it's so easy to mistake those bases for the beginning of like a downward spiral.
It's like climbing a mountain,
You're
right?
right.
They're gonna hit plateaus.
Makes sense.
Even some sections where you might need to like backtrack a little bit before you reach the peak, you panic and turn around every time the path levels out.
Right.
You'll never reach the summit.
That's a good analogy.
Right.
So having that game plan helps you zoom out, see the bigger picture, those long-term trends, instead of getting caught up in the day-to-day.
Precisely. Google's stock performance after their IPO in 2004,
Yeah.
great example. There were definitely dips, moments where impatient investors probably thought, that's it, I'm out.
Right.
But those who'd done their homework understood Google's potential for growth. They saw those dips as buying opportunities, or at least a reason to hold.
Exactly.
Look at them now.
Patience and a well-defined game plan.
That's it.
Okay. I'm starting to see a theme here.
Good.
What about step three? How do we actually quiet that market noise that you mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll be honest, like, checking my portfolio, bit of an addiction.
I hear that it's tough, that constant temptation. That's why step three is tune out the daily drama. Focus on the bigger picture.
Easier said than done when, like, every financial news site is, like, shouting about the latest market mover.
Oh, I know. And that's why weekly or even monthly charts can be your secret weapon.
Okay.
Those daily ups and downs, they're often just noise, you know?
Right.
Driven by speculation, short-term trading, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But weekly, monthly charts, they filter out that noise, reveal the underlying trend.
So it's like choosing to read a novel instead of scrolling through endless social media posts.
Exactly.
You get the full story, the overarching narrative, instead of getting bogged down in the minutiae.
Think about Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Stock price is notoriously volatile, swinging wildly on any given day.
For sure.
But if you zoom out, look at the weekly charts over the past few years. Consistent upward momentum, driven by their market dominance. The daily drama might have scared you off, but the bigger picture, totally different story.
I can see how that emotional detachment would be so crucial, especially during, you know, those inevitable market dips.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We've covered knowing your company, having a game plan, and tuning out the daily drama. That brings us to step four. What's the final piece of the puzzle?
This one might seem a little counterintuitive.
Okay.
But essential for any long-term investor, knowing when to say goodbye.
Okay.
Sell signals.
Okay, hold on. So we've spent this whole time talking about holding on to winners, and now you're telling me there's a time to let go.
Think of it this way. Even the most beautiful sunset, it eventually fades, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Holding on to a stock that's past its prime, it's not going to bring back its glory days. It's about recognizing when the story has changed, being disciplined enough to act accordingly.
So how do we tell the difference between, like, a temporary dip and a sign that it's time to move on? What am I looking for?
Our source highlights three key sell signals that can help us make those tough decisions.
Okay, lay them at me.
First, breaking below the 10-week moving average.
Okay.
Imagine a line on the chart that represents the average stock price over the past 10 weeks. If the stock dips below that line and keeps heading south, it could mean that upward momentum, it's waning.
Interesting. So it's like noticing that, like, a river that's been steadily flowing is starting to slow down.
Yeah.
Might not dry up completely, but it's something to pay attention to. Okay. What's the second signal?
Second signal is heavy volume on down days.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this like a crowd suddenly rushing towards the exit of a concert.
Oh, okay.
If a lot of people are selling, especially those big institutional investors, the ones that have access to, you know, more information, more analysis, it could signal something's off.
Makes sense. If the big players are heading for the exits, maybe it's a good time to at least check the fire alarm, right? Okay, what about the third red flag?
Third signal is the failure to hold key support levels. Imagine, like, a floor beneath the stock price.
Oh, okay.
A level it's bounced back from before. If the stock breaks through that floor and keeps falling, could indicate a larger downward trend.
Okay, so it's like the difference between a ball bouncing back from a trampoline and one that just goes splat right on the ground. Those support levels, they're important to watch.
Exactly. Now remember, no sell signal is foolproof, but they're valuable tools to help us make those informed decisions. Sometimes the smartest move is to walk away with our winnings and look for opportunities elsewhere.
Knowing when to hold them, knowing when to fold them, it's all starting to come together. These decisions always feel so much easier in theory than, like, in the heat of the moment, you know? I think seeing some real-world examples would be super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get practical.
Our source mentioned that they were going to walk through some case studies of companies that have successfully navigated these strategies. What have you got for us?
Let's start with Microsoft in the 1990s.
Okay.
They weren't always the tech giant we know today back then, just starting their climb to dominance. And plenty of bumps along the way, let me tell you. Market crashes, recessions, fierce competition. They weathered it all.
It's hard to imagine Microsoft as the underdog. So what set the investors who held on apart from those who sold too soon?
They understood Microsoft's fundamentals, their iron grip on the software market.
Right.
Particularly with those operating systems and productivity software. They recognized that long-term potential. It outweighed those short-term challenges. and they were definitely rewarded for their patience.
It's a good reminder that even the biggest companies, they start somewhere. Okay, give me another inspiring success story.
Let's talk about Amazon in the 2000s. From online bookstore to practically ruling the world.
Right.
Talk about a wild ride.
Who would have thought you could build an empire on selling books online, right? What did those early Amazon investors see that others missed?
They saw a company with a relentless focus on two things: innovation and customer satisfaction. Even during the dot-com bubble burst when, you know, a lot of those tech darlings, they faltered, but not Amazon.
Right.
They believed in the vision. They saw the potential of their cloud computing services, AWS, even when it wasn't the obvious moneymaker that it is today.
It's amazing how a company can completely reinvent itself. You know, books to cloud computing to, well, everything. Okay, last case study. Hit me with it.
All right. Our final example is NVIDIA. Explosive growth throughout the 2010s.
Yeah.
Started with a focus on graphics cards for gaming.
Right.
But those who held on, they saw them evolve into something much bigger.
Yeah, I remember when graphics cards were just for, like, hardcore gamers. What was the turning point for NVIDIA?
Investors who recognized the power of their GPUs, those graphics processing units for artificial intelligence, they saw the future. While everyone else was focused on their gaming segment, these forward-thinking investors, they understood that NVIDIA was poised to dominate a whole new world of technology.
It's like they were playing a game of chess while everyone else was playing checkers. They saw the bigger picture, the long-term potential, even when it wasn't immediately obvious.
Exactly. These case studies, they just highlight the power of informed patience, understanding a company's core strengths and long-term vision, and knowing when to tune out the noise. Stick with your convictions.
This deep dive has been like a masterclass in long-term investing.
Glad to hear it.
We've covered the psychology of holding, the importance of research and planning, and the art of knowing when to sell. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners before we wrap up?
Remember, sticking with winners. It's not about blind faith. It's about informed conviction. Do your research, develop a plan, and remember, investing, much like life, is a marathon, not a sprint.
I love that. So to our listeners, as you think about your own portfolios, consider this. Do the companies you're invested in have those winning qualities? Are you in it for the long haul? Use what you've learned today to make those decisions with confidence. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.